Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that he loves, undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday. It's a beautiful Monday, August 29th, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And again, and as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. So the truth and the lie, you know, John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And, you know, speaking of the lie, I think of John chapter 8 in particular, when there is this exchange between Jesus and some folks. The exchange becomes heated because, you know, he has that four-part conditional deal. He said, you know, in the King James, it says that in John 8:31, then Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you'll know the truth. So it's conditional, and the truth shall make you free. This is very specific. It's not just the truth shall make you free. It's, you know, and that is reminiscent of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus saying in Matthew 7, the contrasting of the broad way and the narrow way, essentially, and the two, the distinction between the two is the way he said it in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The distinction is in those two words, enter and find. You can enter sleeping. Have you ever been, I don't know, on a plane or on a bus or whatever, someone else is driving, and you enter into a city asleep, but you entered, or upside down, backwards, whatever, eyes closed. You can enter many ways. But if you find something, your brother, you're looking for it. You don't just accidentally find something. You're looking for it. And the joke is always that it's, you know, you found it in the last place you looked. Anyway, he says to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, condition one, then you are my disciples indeed, condition two, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so there's this controversy that breaks out after that. And so they keep, there are some who are well, there's some hubris involved, I would say. And so they go back and forth, and finally Jesus says, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. And then he says, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? So this issue of the truth is an interesting one, and it seems to sort of be coming into, you know, full view more and more. I think, you know, the truth, I believe that America was existing on spiritual fumes for a long time, and we thought that we could get away with certain things. Now we're realizing that we can't, and we haven't been, and we're sort of reaping what we've sown, or haven't. The weeds have grown up, and now bad things are happening, and we're dealing with the consequences. There are forces, I think, at work in the spiritual realm, shall we say, that are influencing events and people and things. But again, you know, what is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? And that's why I mentioned Oswald Chambers during the first hour, yesterday's entry specifically, what's the good of prayer? And I think Chambers makes the case. And so, you know, as I've said, I think the question for all of us is, have I done all I can do? Have I done all I can? And Glenn, I think, is prescient in his response. He said, I think the question is, have I done anything? And I think he's probably right. That's not a bad question to ask ourselves. And until I've done everything that I can do, or at least something to his point, maybe I should be quiet and get to work. And I think one of the best things we could do is, I don't know, take a cue from what Mike Rowe's been doing, his work over the last 20 years in pointing that out. There are folks, I mean, I think he shined a bright, glorious light on folks who just show up and you don't hear about it. In fact, it's the opposite of the Hollywood model when you think about it. You watch Hallmark, for example. If you have a weekend or a day or whatever, watch the movies. The people, the crazy people who are dysfunctional and just not well adjusted are the people who are the stars of the shows, even on the most well-intentioned shows. And it's what people watch. And then, of course, it's what they emulate. No wonder America is histrionic, generally speaking, or increasingly histrionic. And then you see in those shows the supporting cast of characters who are well-adjusted, who are just quiet, and they just show up and they don't make a whole bunch of noise and stuff gets done. When they're around, you know, they just show up and they do their job and things get done. It creates a tremendous cohesion and peace and so on. It's amazing. And I think that sort of gets right to the heart of Numbers chapter 30. Guys, do what you say. Ladies, a little different, whatever. Anyway, back to this truth stuff for a minute to finish Dostoevsky's The Alternative translation from about lies and the truth from the Brothers Karamazov. Backing up, the alternative translation in its entirety is, above all, do not lie to yourself. A man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point where he does not discern any truth either in himself or anywhere around him, and thus falls into disrespect towards himself and others. Not respecting anyone, he ceases to love, and having no love, he gives himself up to passions and coarse pleasures. Again, I think Romans chapter 1. In order to occupy and amuse himself or distract himself, and in his vices reaches complete bestiality, and it all comes from lying continually to others and to himself. A man who lies to himself is often the first to take offense. Imagine that. Does that ring a bell? Do we have the contingent that is always offended by everything? And do we factor in, you know, Michael Tesarian's article, Children of Thanatos, the Marcusean Society, and that the psychically mutilated person is incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. Man who lies to himself is often the first to take offense. It sometimes feels very good to take offense, doesn't it? And surely he knows that no one has offended him and that he himself has invented the offense and told lies just for the beauty of it. Can you see that in the cultural zeitgeist at work in, you know, the cultural Marxist Frankfurt School bent that has now gripped America? He himself has invented the offense and told lies just for the beauty of it, that he has exaggerated for the sake of effect, hyperbole, that he has picked on a word and made a mountain out of a pea. He knows all of that, and still he is the first to take offense. He likes feeling offended. It gives him great pleasure, and thus he reaches a point of real hostility. But as an aside, it's not just that he likes feeling offended. It's that he feels that that confers a sense of power to him. But wait, he's just a political prop being used. Again, I digress. Continuing, do get up from your knees and sit down. I beg you, these posturings are false too. So that's the other translation. And it's fascinating to see these kinds of things at work. Again, I've mentioned the Dalrymple quote. In my study of communist societies, I came to the conclusion that the purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or convince, not to inform, but to humiliate. And I would say degrade. And therefore, the less it corresponded to reality, the better. And obviously, we can incorporate the big lie here. We can obviously incorporate double bind, schizophrenia, etc. When people are forced to remain silent when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity. To assent to obvious lies is, in some small way, to become evil oneself. One's standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easy to control. I think of, if you examine political correctness, it has the same effect and is intended to. So back to listener stuff, audience stuff. Merson's, was this it? I think. Well, there's the article, The Organic Prepper, Montana Water Rights. I don't know if this was it or it was something else. I think maybe it was something else. Montana has lost its water rights, August 27, 2022. And she writes, this article covers the appropriation of Montanans' water rights by the federal government in the name of the CKST, the Confederated Kootenai and Salish Tribes. Superficially, the federal government is upholding the rights of the Indian tribes to claim all surface and subsurface waters of the, I would say ostensibly is the word I would use, but to claim all surface and subsurface waters of the western one-third of the state of Montana. In reality, the federal government is taking a 170-year-old treaty, expanding its meaning, and using it as a tool to commandeer everyone's water. And I would say that's 100% accurate. And at the same time that's happening now, also there is there was an article that I saw last week I was thinking about mentioning that sort of coincides with this. Oh, I know what it was. It was, well, I'm looking for that. Let's see if we can Oh, yeah. The thing that Larry sent me. So, yeah. The article published in the Flathead Beacon in Montana, federal board to vote on changing offensive names of Flathead landmarks. A Blackfeet tribal leader was named to the advisory committee tasked with recommending changes to hundreds of names on federal land across the U.S. So we're just going to obliterate history. There's a place in Spokane, Washington, and that, you know, this kind of thing has been going on for some time. It's going on, you know, now throughout America. This is not a way to respect anyone. It's a way to erase and rewrite history. So there is a place that I guess now is formally known as the Hangman Valley, south of Spokane, and I think the golf course they renamed. It used to be Hangman Valley Golf Course. Now I think it's called Latah Creek Golf Course or something like that. I think that's what happened. And so there's this effort to, and you know, even the tribal folks, when this was happening, even the tribal folks were saying, "Wait a second, if you get rid of that name, then you erase what happened in this valley. You are effectively erasing history, and you're erasing a part of our heritage." And so, you know, we're seeing the same thing with statues and things. It's fascinating. So now there's a crumbling. One other, speaking of these lies and things, it was actually a thing that Larry sent me. I appreciate everything, you know. Thank you for that article, Murr. Appreciate the stuff that you send me, Larry, and that everyone sends me. But there's this quote from Ayn Rand as well. There's no way to rule innocent men. This gets back to the point of corrupting people, and that's part of what the lie does that I've been mentioning. This is a social engineering of corruption, obviously, that we're witnessing right before our very eyes. And again, you know, the Dalrymple quote applies with force. You know, to assent to obvious lies is in some small way to become evil oneself. Enter the Ayn Rand quote. There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for me to live without breaking laws. Who wants a nation of law-abiding citizens? What's there in that for anyone? But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed or enforced nor objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers, and then you cash in on guilt. So a couple of things. There is the Roman historian Tacitus, first century Roman historian Tacitus, who said the more numerous the laws, the more corrupt the state. There's Romans chapter 7 that tells us the law is antagonistic to the flesh. The law was supposed to be a tutor. There is Harvey Silverglad's, what is it, Three Felonies a Day, I think, is the title of the book. How the Feds Target the Innocent, which sounds exactly like what we're talking about. And let's see, what else was I thinking in relation to that? I forget what the other was, but I mean, are we not witnessing the engineering of this in America? In a variety of ways, piquing people's curiosity to investigate sin, essentially. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me.
Welcome back. So speaking of the laws aspect of this, again, you know, Madison was the one who said it will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. And I think we can all agree that we have definitely crossed that line in America, which is why I sort of jokingly, but not really, wrote a piece last January 2021, titled How to Fix Congress in three simple steps. No more digital documents, no more prepared remarks unless handwritten and prepared by the congressional member personally, not by staffers, not by whatever, but prepared remarks only in their own handwriting, or better yet, extemporaneously. How about that? Let's try that. And before every major election, all voters must watch C-SPAN for at least 30 or preferably 60 days, at least 60 days prior to election day. And time watched is not regulated except that C-SPAN watching must equal or exceed all other television watched. So, for example, watching a two-hour movie equals watching the equivalent of at least 2 hours of C-SPAN. I think that alone would probably, as one friend puts it so eloquently, probably make a number of Americans want to stick an ice pick in their own ear. You know, it's just painful. And so who knows what that might change. Someone, you know, it's so interesting, and people have mentioned this before, but I saw someone on social media commenting about running for office and the laws that I propose, you know, legislation I propose. Do people understand that separation of powers was supposed to really retard the political machine? You know, prevent it. It's not supposed to be a well-oiled machine that just, man, it's firing on all cylinders, it's running hot. It's not supposed to be like that. Not much is supposed to get done. That was one of the big points of separation of powers. You know, we all just behave ourselves, and we don't use government to as a monopoly creating machine or oligopoly. You know, maybe we create an oligopoly to sort of deflect from the monopoly that we've created, you know, and pretend that we don't actually have a monopoly, because it's not really a monopoly. There are five companies that do this. And so, you know, but I think the idea was that we were supposed to behave ourselves and self-govern. That's a, you know, a concept that has a specific connotation. And, you know, all of this argument about library nonsense and the First Amendment and freedom of speech is hogwash. And John Adams put it very well when he said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, and licentiousness would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net," as in, it doesn't exist. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And I think that's pretty much the beginning and the end of the discussion. The First Amendment is predicated on a society that is bridled by morality and religion, according to guys like John Adams, one of the Committee of Five, one of the most influential people in American history. Freedom of speech is not a license to say whatever you want. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer. 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are all.
Welcome back. So we'll go to the phones here in a second, but before I do, just to conclude this thought, what we are witnessing, just to sort of tie all of this together, what we are witnessing, and this is not by accident. You know, in John Coleman's Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, he, you know, spoke specifically about this, and if you listen to him talk, you know, going to the Library of Congress to do the research for this book in particular, he's not guessing. So when he says during the course of the evolvement of the Tavistock Institute, it expanded in size and ambition, and when in 1937 a decision was made to use the German author Oswald Spengler's monumental work, Untergang des Aben Landes, Terrible German, The Decline of Western Civilization, as a model. There's more, but powerful, influential folks decided that, you know, this was the thing. And, you know, we can go back in history and talk about the controversy of the New Atlantis and Hall's Secret Destiny of America and all of that kind of stuff. But what we are experiencing right now, what we're witnessing, is the engineering of a society of schizophrenic, self-hating, psychically mutilated lawbreakers, or at the very least, liars, cowardly liars. You know, again, to assent to obvious lies is in some small way to become evil oneself. And back to the Dostoevsky variant translation, man who lies to himself and listens to his own lies comes to a point where he does not discern any truth either in himself or in anyone around him, and thus falls into disrespect towards himself and others, self-loathing. And what happens from there? He's easily cowed and manipulated. He marinates in his own frustration and his own self-loathing and guilt and so on. It's just this, again, it's a Groundhog Day scenario that seems inescapable. Freedom of speech is not to, again, to return to what John Adams said, no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. It's interesting, that's precisely what the cultural Marxist bent seeks to attack, undermine, erode, eviscerate, destroy. You know what? We need to release man's human passions. Let's release all human passions and plunge man into utter depravity so that we can save him. That's the counterfeit of Christian salvation that the cultural Marxist bent has cooked up, which is just a reimagining of the same old nonsense. But that's what they seek to do. And you can see it. Like I said, you know, what happened this weekend? What in the world happened at Yankee Stadium yesterday? MTV Music Awards. It was debauchery. It was depravity. As far as I can tell, I'm not even going to speak to it. That's all I'll say about it. Freedom of speech is not a license to say whatever depraved thing falls out of one's mouth. Bible says that out of the well of the heart the mouth speaks. That's a separate discussion. But to say whatever falls out of, you know, whatever depraved thing falls out of one's mouth, that's called licentiousness, as John Adams mentioned. Where do we have boundaries? Where do we have lines? Do we honor anything American? Again, if you have not read Stuart Chase and the Transition of American Life, you know, when Norman Dodd himself went to the Ford Foundation and talked to the newly minted president, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr., and Gaither made that shocking statement that, you know, we operate, paraphrasing, you know, he said, we operate on directives that issue from the White House. You know, he said, most of us have spent time somewhere like Sullivan and Cromwell or the OSS or whatever, which came from where? British intrigue. So he says, you know, most of us come from those kinds of backgrounds, Machiavellian, you know, economic warfare and political intrigue. But we operate on directives that issue from the White House. And it's not that it's, you know, this administration or that administration or this president or that. It's this Philip Drew administrator contingent that Carol Quigley told us about, for example. The Stuart Chases that are part of the brain trust, so to speak, from administration to administration. Stuart Chase is a guy like Henry Kissinger, who's maybe not the national security advisor for this administration, but is advising sitting, you know, holders of office, sitting presidents and, you know, candidates and things for let's see, what, 70 years now in Kissinger's case? Stuart Chase and guys like that, same thing. Go read his Wikipedia entry and understand what he means when he, in his book, A New Deal, Stuart New Deal Chase, the author of The New Deal, what does he mean when he says, why should the Soviets have all the fun remaking the world? What does he mean? Where are we now, Mr. You know, a cutout of Thorsten Veblen, Mr. Technocracy, still shaping and influencing life in America? Do we have boundaries? Do we respect the, shall we say, the orthodoxy of the founding of the American Republic? If we do, I would conjecture that guys like John Adams are important. Committee of Five member, one of the five most, shall we say, influential, certainly founding fathers in American history. And if what he is saying is accurate, that we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion, that avarice, ambition, revenge, and licentiousness. And even Washington said that these kinds of forces would be fomented to destroy us from within if we weren't vigilant. The kind of eternal vigilance that Andrew Jackson echoed. Avarice, ambition, revenge, and licentiousness would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And that doesn't mean a bunch of Satan worshipers, whether they're Luciferians or misguided socialists or communitarians or whatever. It means biblical orthodoxy is what it means. You are free to pursue your relationship with your Creator, mentioned in our founding documents, in any way that you see fit in accordance with, you know, essentially the directives of the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. And the more that we retreat from holding the line, the more the boundaries are broken down, and the more we sort of lean into this kind of thing. So what is licentiousness? If we're going to talk John Adams, we might as well quote Noah Webster. Webster's 1828, licentiousness is excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum. And I would say maybe excessive indulgence of liberty beyond the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum. But I think contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum is a great way to put it. And then, you know, once the firewall is broken, once the once the barrier is eviscerated to a certain point, is there a critical mass? Is there a tipping point where suddenly all hell breaks loose? I don't know. To the phones, Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Brian.
It's only polite to the show host to try and stay somewhat on topic. You were mentioning the water rights in Montana.
Yeah.
You mentioned Paul and his Let's Get Active. So I have a idea.
Paul Freire?
No? I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
I was thinking Paul from back east somewhere. Anyway, I want to throw this idea of as a suggestion that I've come up with. A year ago, you thanked me on air for sending you this logging movie that's available on YouTube for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that Miles W. Mathis has a article up about Ken Kesey indicating he's kind of a controlled person, and that's from 2020, if somebody was interested. In looking at Ken Kesey, what I'm calling you for today is, see, I want a discussion on this book, and I think people are spending entirely too much time in front of this blue screen, and you could go out and sit under the shade tree and get through a 500-page book, cost you $20, delivered to your local bookstore. This is the Sometimes a Great Notion Ken Kesey book that I'm obsessed with because of, I think it's explains Jenna and my attempt at encouraging biochar. Mm-hmm. So just this 2 weeks ago, there's a guy with a tiny hat on in Dubai, and he's Israeli, and he has teamed up with a biochar now company in Colorado to deal with the beetle kill forestry problem, and they have all the certificates and credentials of not making air pollution ideas. So why is the government and the huge facilities the only way to make charcoal is basically the gist of my...
Well, I think we could ask the question even more broadly. Why are the large conglomerates the only way to make enter whatever here? Because, you know, it was like a generation ago, we had Radio Shacks and we had other little parts stores and, you know, automotive parts stores. And it was not uncommon before planned obsolescence really gripped us that, you know, it was the responsible thing to do to, you know, maintain your automobile, for example, in good condition, good repair, so that, you know, we didn't create a bunch of junk that had to go somewhere. And now, because of what we perceive as a sort of technical complexity, I think generally, and some other factors, some other forces, now people just are not inclined to think like that anymore.
This is exactly the case. And, yeah, if you could see Jenna and I in the dead of summer here, all this material is bone dry, and although there's a burn ban, we have this big propane tank, which we make biochar on a middle of a hot day with a chimney. It is not illegal, but it is frowned upon. But we are resisting this. So just a couple things. I'm on the internet, and there's some outfit called Goodreads, and they have book forums. Mm-hmm. And in July 2022, they're discussing this book. So these people back and forth with their views. I mean, this book is extremely difficult to digest and make heads or tails of. But if you read it two or three times and make a family tree and write everybody's name down, you might be able to get through it in one read. But the gist of the back forth forum is they're saying, boy, why is it that Ken Kesey appears to be rooting for the star of the book movie, Hank, the independent Gippo logger? You'd think he would be a union man, a environmentalist.
Yeah.
So I thought of Chris Hinckley when I read that. I said, well, Chris has said from the very beginning this communitarianism is designed to be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to my recommendation. What we have is this Mitzi woman in Mount Shasta, California. Skill Cult has a very popular YouTube channel in Northern California that has six videos on biochar. And we have this Shannon Rowan, who was 2 weeks ago on Ingrid Castle's show there in Idaho, your neck of the woods. And Shannon is electromagnetic sensitive, so I called her up and said, you know, we're completely behind making some headway on the health effects of all this technology, but wouldn't you want to know what Lark would have to say about the importance of technology in implementing a new form of global governance, that being communitarianism? Well, Shannon's all over it. So this coming Sunday on Revolution Radio, Jenna is co-hosting with this Mitzi from Mount Shasta, and they're going to have Shannon on, and we've been sending her some communitarian information, these little videos that Jenna's been putting out with PTL Media Now, so that she can kind of get up to speed on the importance of all this. I'm just thinking that back to this Goodreads forum on this book, they're coming to the conclusion in July, well, it's collectivism versus individualism. Well, does this sound like we could replace this collective word with communitarianism yet? Is it not, you know, something Alex Jones and Stu Peters are talking about, so it can't be true until these chuckleheads are using the word? No, I think it's my suggestion is we get these three people in Northern California together to read this book, including the, you know, intro in the 2006 edition, and start to pin the tail on the donkey here of social engineering extraordinaire, a la Ken Kesey, because it applies to Jenna and Mai's attempt at getting some headway on this biochar thing. It can't be done without a new form of socialism taking over the world, Brian. We need to do it on a huge mass scale. And you and your podunk putting it in your vegetable garden and removing wildfire hazard is not making enough headway.
Yeah.
Well,
you're like Brooksley Bourne out in front of the subprime contagion, writing the letter to Greenspan saying, you know, I think we have a problem here. This seems untenable. And your problem, Brian, is that you're ahead of the timing on the thing. So like you said, you know, the folks with the tiny hats at places like Davos and wherever, they need, you know, that we need time to get the masses on board with the communitarian shift, where now we all have the responsibility to do what you're talking about. And then it becomes that big socialist enterprise. So you're just too far ahead of the curve, Brian. Sorry.
And I have too many red flags when somebody starts talking about Ethereum. And
you don't have a blue check next to your name on all over social media, so you're not an influencer, and therefore people don't go, you know, without even investigating, what Brian says makes a lot of sense, so we should just do that.
So that's my suggestion, Chris. You could buy five of these books, have them delivered to the people you know that have even a thumbnail sketch of what communitarianism is, and say, you probably read this book back when you were a dope-smoking hippie, but you maybe need to read it again, because...
And you're talking about Kesey's Sometimes a Great great Notion, which is also known as Never Give an Inch, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And trust me, you won't get somebody wearing a cowboy hat and boots and a belt to read this. It's, you know, written for dope smokers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's you know, sometimes three times in a paragraph. You've traveled over 100 years of time. It's just an extremely difficult thing to ask someone to read, but my hope is, like in Northern California, I can get some people to get together, meet face-to-face, and I know you crave that kind of thing, like Jenna and I. We send out some books, get some people that want to come together and discuss it in person instead of online. So that's my current obsession. I thought I'd share it with you, and I'm completely thrilled. You took me through the commercial break even, and I'm appreciative.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, and I would encourage folks to be as thoughtful and inquisitive as you and Jenna. I think that's a good thing.
Appreciate your encouragement. Thanks so much, Chris. We'll call again soon. I know you enjoy getting a little feedback from the peanut gallery. Thanks.
Definitely. I appreciate it very much. Before we go back to the phones, you can go to Ken Kesey's Wikipedia page. And under the section titled Biography, there's the subsection Experimentation with Psychedelic Drugs. At the invitation of Perry Lane, neighbor and Stanford psychology graduate student Vic Lovell, Kesey volunteered to take part in what turned out to be a CIA-financed study under the aegis of Project MKUltra, a highly secret military program at the Menlo Park Veterans Hospital, where he worked as a night aide. And on, that's all I'll say about that. Back to the phones, James in Vancouver. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, well, Kesey worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. And Nietzsche never smoked dope. But I had an epiphany the last day or two. And what they want to do is they want to make everybody have to line up for food, okay? All of this food shortage stuff and so on and so forth. That's their ultimate goal, is to make everybody line up for food. Now, one more thing I wanted to ask you about is, how is it that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day?
Well, that is provocative. Yeah, it was July 4, 1826, I believe, right?
Right. Does the guy understand who might have been behind the deaths? Did you hear about that?
No. It is a provocative coincidence, obviously.
Admiral Levy, L-E-V-Y. You can check that out. Mm. Never let a good conspiracy go to waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always.
Bye now.
Pat, I apologize. Yep. We didn't have time. Brian, appreciate your call, as always. And I truly do. I think it, is not bad to be appropriately inquisitive. I think we can become morbidly obsessed and preoccupied. I wouldn't say that describes Brian and Jenna, at least in my humble estimation. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.